Well, God is good. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for loving each and every one of us just as we are and for promising that we will be perfect one day. You said, I will complete the good work that I began in you. We're going to be that spotless bride one day standing before you. Thank you, Father, for the words that are going to come out of my mouth are your words and not my words, because your words are much better than my own. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's see. I think I just had, you know, I'm always writing things down. I had something yesterday. It was funny because I feel for the young people nowadays. They are so lost. And you see it in just everything. I guess there's a new trend where young people will, on TikTok, people will send them fake food or fake items and they act like they're eating them or they pretend to be enjoying them, and people pay to do this. And I'm like, this is crazy. What is our, what has the world come to? And so then the Lord gave me this. He said, gratification is not the same as fulfillment. And I think the young people, they're constantly looking for gratification because they think they're going to be fulfilled by being gratified. And that's, we can, and it does for a moment, you know, when you seek that next high or whatever, you know, you feel good for a minute and then you need it again. I was reading an article by someone yesterday who was into the New Age. And they said in the New Age, it's sort of God and it's sort of not. And you kind of are God. He goes, but you're always trying to get to the next level. And you think, well, every time something bad happens to me, that's just the world, you know, that's just the spirit world testing me so I can get to the next level. And you're always seeking out that next high. And she goes, but I never felt loved. She goes, as spiritual as I got and as, you know, as far as I got up in this thing, I just didn't feel love. And then she goes, one day a friend dragged me to church and I heard this God thing, and she was just blown away, and she realized that that she wasn't God and that she couldn't get any fulfillment from that, and there was no ladder to climb. There was just God, and God loved her just the way she was. And it was an interesting article because she wasn't even writing to Christians. She was writing to other people who were caught in that. And the crazy thing is the church is into a lot of that. There are a lot into a lot of this New Ageism, and they mix it. Mom and I were talking about the dialectic, or Hegel would take one idea and a good idea and a bad idea and put them together and make a new idea, which seems good, but actually it's evil because it's deceptive. You know, the evil you can see is evil and the good you can see is good, but when you put them together and you make the evil look good, then you think, well, that's okay. You know, so you got to be careful. I mean, in this church, we don't put up with any of that nonsense. Just God. That's it. You know, there is nothing else. There's not God plus. There's just God. You know, it's just Jesus. And the fellow that I listen to, he's always saying that. He goes, there's so many people that say, oh, yeah, I believe in God. He goes, I don't know if you want to believe in God. Do you believe in Jesus, that he died and came back, rose from the dead for your sins? That's what I want to know, because lots of people believe in God or a God or many gods, whatever. What I believe in Jesus Christ. So you got to be very specific. You know, you got to just cut through all the junk and get to the meat of it. I was listening to, I guess you guys know Mike Lindell is the MyPillow guy. He has some new fancy technology that he can unleash so that he can make sure they're not cheating. And it's like, you know, you can easily get to the bottom of that by just getting rid of all the machines. Amen. And make people hand count. Amen. And so if you get to the bottom, then you can't cheat. So why are we trying to figure out if they're cheating or not? Just go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. You know, we're always trying to find something new and amazing, and it's like, go back to the beginning. The beginning is, Jesus loves me, this I know. That's the beginning. You don't have to. Christianity isn't some pyramid scheme or whatever. It's just, Jesus loves me, this I know, just as I am. It was funny. I was telling this in Fort Worth last week. In the past, I used to have a problem with buying stuff. And I just like to buy things. It just, again, I thought it was fulfillment, but it wasn't. Because, you know, you buy things, you're like, oh, it's exciting. And then you notice when you get it. Like my father-in-law even told me, he got a new car years ago. And I said, how was it? He goes, you know, doing all the research was the fun part. And then when you get it, you're like, it really didn't bring me any joy. And so that's what I realized years ago. God finally showed me that. And was just, you know, you're being stupid. So the other day, I kept seeing ads for and billboards for and people talking about it. And I'm like, yeah, I just want this thing. And I even went to the store and I stared at it. I'm like, I'm going to get this thing. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, this is so stupid. David, you're almost 50 years old. Why are you doing this? You're an idiot. And it was funny. And I'm just sitting there and then I go out in the parking lot and I'm sitting in my truck and I'm just contemplating. I mean, whether it was a sin or not, it was just stupid. It was a waste. And then Alex calls me. And so right in the midst of me contemplating wasting money, Alex calls me and he asks me for some wisdom. And the funny thing is God just starts speaking out of me. So it's like, it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing or what's even in your mind. If God has a purpose for you, a plan for you, he's just going to provide what you need. And so here I am being dumb and God goes, hey, a brother's going to call you and you're going to, you need to tell him something. And I'm like, I can't. I'm totally coveting this thing right here. And then all of a sudden God just starts speaking out of me. So it's like, I guess what I'm saying is don't worry where you're at. If God needs to do something through you, he will. You just have to be available and ready to be used. I mean, you just have to, the devil will try to fool you and say, I need to be in prayer 10 hours a day and reading my word every day. And I need to be in God. And if I'm sinning, there's no way I can do stuff for God. That's the devil. The devil will tell you that. It's not you doing it anyways. It's absolutely not you doing it. It's God doing it. When the Bible says, I am in you to will and to do. Sorry, there was something on the table. It was bothering me. When I am in you to will and to do, it doesn't mean, oh, now you're able to do it. No, I am in you to do, and I am in you to will. It's my will and my doing. It's not you. You're just the vessel. And that, man, that's freeing. That means, I have no burden. Jesus took my burden. He took it all. He just said, man, I saved you. And I'm going to perfect you and I'm going to grow you up. And it's like, wow, I thought my part was going to be hard. It's like, no, you thought you were going to try to do it. You can't. And so that's exciting. It's like, it's fun. Whatever I said earlier, gratification is not the same thing as fulfillment. Fulfillment is being at peace with God, just in relationship with God. It's so funny how God uses things. My daughter, I love my daughter, but she is insane. She just constantly just, she won't listen. She's just doing her own thing and just everywhere. And it's like, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I am just that way with God. God's like, hey, I want to tell you something. And I'm just doing my own thing. And he's like, hey, I want to tell you something. It's going to be amazing. I got this plan for you and it's going to be, and I'm just like, nah, I got my own thing going on. And it's like, oh, that is me. I am my daughter to God. And it's like, I got my own thing going on. And every once in a while, I'll listen to what you have to say. But it's like, God wants to completely just show us everything and teach us everything and guide us. And it's like, he's like, man, I'm like, Gabby, I got a much better plan. It will make you happy. You don't understand that there'll be peace and joy. And, you know, it's like, we're trying to get her to, when she doesn't get her way, she whines and we're like, no, that is not going to happen. I don't want to hear that. Whether or not it's good or not, I don't want to hear it. So it's like, but it's fun because God doesn't care. He puts up with our garbage. God, it's good when you think you've got something down and then he shows you, you didn't completely have it. You're like, oh, I forgot. You know, it's the Bible tells us, you know, we got to wake up every day and we got to remind ourselves who we are in Christ because we forget who we are. And the world, you know, the world is insane in so many ways right now. And you're like, can I do anything about this? Should I do anything about this? Should I even worry about this? God, should I go, you know, become a politician? God, should I, you know, it's like, just seek God. Somebody had sent a letter, an email, and they were like, I think we should be involved in this. And I said, you know, you can be involved in that. It was a political thing. And I'm like, I'm right now God has got me where he's got me, and it's not that. I don't know why. I mean, it was good that I saw. It's good that I saw the depravity of man, because in the party that I'm affiliated with, I saw their depravity, and we're the good guys. And I'm like, wow, if we're the good guys, and this is the people that are, it's like, they're all sinners, you know, or if they're not sinners, they sin. You know, maybe they're not sinners anymore, because, you know, if you have Jesus, and a lot of them claim Jesus, but it's like, you can't trust man. Like the Bible says, you don't trust man. It's like, wow, you can't trust man. It's like, I thought you were on my side. Everybody is selfish unless you got God in you. Because when you have God in you, then you realize that you have everything and you don't need to gain anything. I know it's God that I don't understand why men are that way. Men are men, meaning mankind, not men, just men in general. It's so greedy. I don't understand that. I mean, I have desires and I want things, but I don't understand how you could destroy a person's life to get something more. It's like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But I know that is God in me, because I know what that person does is in me. If I didn't have God in me to not do that, I could easily do that. And I could probably actually do it very well. It's like, I, you know, mom will tell you I was a good liar as a kid. I had the chocolate cake on my face. Did you eat the chocolate cake? No, Mom, I did not. And there was chocolate all over my face. She said if there wasn't chocolate all over my face, she would have believed me. So, and you know, I lied out of not wanting to get in trouble. It's so funny to me. It's like me being that way and then being delivered of that, I have so much respect for people when they do something wrong and they apologize. They admit to it. I'm like, golly, you could have easily hidden that from me, but I have respect for you that you told me. That's awesome. So, because that was a thing that I had a problem with, was lying. I mean, because it's easy to, so then you don't have to deal with the consequences. You know, you lie to somebody so that you don't have to feel bad or have to apologize or have to repay them for something. Just lie about it, you know, but it's wrong. It's not the truth. And then you have that in you. But then when you start telling the truth and you're always, then it's like there's a freedom and a deliverance and a peace and a joy, because there's not stuff out there hanging over your head going, what did I say? And how did I do that? And you have to remember, there's a term that's become very popular. It's an old, old, old term. It's called gaslighting. Why, was it that bad? It's called gaslighting, you know, where you tell somebody something and then their whole world is messed up. And then when they find out the truth, they have to figure out how to piece it all back together. They go, well, what was a lie and what was the truth? And they have to go and they have to try to. So it's like, so just tell the truth. Gaslighting. I think it had to do with, I think it came from, it's how they did like puppet shows or something. They would create something out of, you know, you'd have a gas lamp and you'd create something on the wall that wasn't real. I think that's where that term came from. Anyway, hallelujah. John chapter 19. We're getting close to the good part where they're going to kill our Savior and we're going to be saved. It was bad for Jesus, good for us. But it wasn't bad for Jesus. Jesus didn't mind. He did it because he loved us. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And having plaited a wreath out of thorns, the soldiers put it on his head, and they threw a purple mantle about him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they gave. So it was funny. Last week I was talking about, I don't even remember. It was one of the Pharisees or something, and he said something, and he didn't realize what he was saying, and he was actually saying truth, even though he meant something completely different, and he said the truth. So these guys, they're mocking Jesus. They're like, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they're mocking him, but he is the King of Jews, and they have no idea what they're saying. They're being funny, but they're telling the truth, and they don't even know it. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they gave him blows with the palm. And then Pilate went outside again and said to them, "Behold, I bring him out to you, that you may know that I do not find even one crime in him." And then Jesus came outside wearing the thorny wreath and the purple mantle. And he said to them, "Behold the man." And when the chief priests and the under officers saw him, they cried out saying, "Crucify! Crucify!" You know, that's... when I was talking about, you know, lying, I always hated it when Mary would catch me in a lie. and that's it. I mean, when Jesus caught these guys in a lie, they were lying to the people. They were making up all sorts of garbage. You know, I mean, it was, and it seemed scriptural. Like I was telling about how it's dialectic. It's like, it seems right, but it's not. Because the Bible, you know, the Bible says, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And these guys were making burdens, you know. And if you make a burden, you know, it seems right because you can make a burden in your human flesh and you can keep that burden. You know, you're like, don't eat bacon. God didn't tell us not to eat bacon because it was, you know, whatever. He's like, it's going to make your stomach upset. And then he told Peter, "Hey, it's okay if you eat bacon now." It's silly. I like bacon. It's bad for you, though. Don't eat bacon unless you want to. But it's like, you make up rules so that you can keep them, and you make up dumb ones. You know, the Jews made up 600 some odd dumb rules so that they can keep them, so they won't break the Big Ten Commandments. You know, my dad did a lot of that. He did. He said, "Don't chew gum," and the reason he didn't want us to chew gum is because he didn't want us to do drugs. He wasn't interested in us chewing gum. He didn't care. He didn't want us to do the bigger stuff. And so that's wisdom. And the Jews did that, but they still. They missed the point. They missed the heart of God, you know. And they should have seen it because it happened over and over and over again. Every time they sinned and they'd come back to God, God would immediately forgive them. I mean, and not even like over time. You know, I mean, that's a human thing. "Oh, you hurt me. It's going to take a while before I get over this." God immediately said, "All right, I forgive you. Come on back in." And he didn't even leave. They were like, "We don't want you." And he's like, "Okay, are you sure? It's not going to go well if I go over there." And they're like, "Yeah, we don't want you." And then he'd go, "All right, I'll step back." And then everything would fall apart. And they're like, wait, we changed our mind. Let's see. "Behold the man." And then they cried, "Crucify him." So it's like, When you get caught in your sin, you don't want anybody to see it. So you'll do whatever you can to cover it up. I mean, you see that in our country right now. There's so many sins being covered up, and they're all in on it. And you're like, God, are the bad guys ever going to get it? But you're like, I don't even really care if the bad guys get it. I'd rather they come to Jesus. To me, that would be more amazing. More amazing than a bad guy to get it would be for him to get saved and his life turned around. God, wouldn't that be crazy? Like Klaus Schwab all of a sudden starts professing Jesus Christ as his Savior. That would upset the world. I mean, he's, you know, according to a lot of people, he's the baddest of the baddies. I'm sure there's worse. But I mean, it's like, he's the guy, like, if that guy found Jesus, what a testimony that would be. I would be excited about that. Be fun. Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I do not find one crime in him." So, you know, it wasn't good that he did that, but he had to do that. It was already, God's deal was already lined up, and it had to happen. Jesus needed to die for us. So, I mean, we know later that weighed on him, because he's like, man, he was shirking his duties as a Roman. He should not have let them kill him because he hadn't done anything wrong. He hadn't done anything wrong, and the Jews didn't have the right to kill him. Because again, remember, they said, "Well, we can't kill him." That's because they weren't one of their commandments. You know, you can't kill. It's like, so they were trying to get Pilate to do it. It's like, you don't understand. Then the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." So, and then Pilate heard this word, he was more afraid, and he entered into the Praetorium again and said to Jesus, "From where are you?" But Jesus did not give him an answer. And so Pilate said to him, "Do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to crucify you and I have the authority to release you?" Jesus answered, "You would not have the authority against me, not any, if it had not been given to you from above." That would scare you. You're like, because remember, they had lots of gods. And they, so any god could be real to them. And so he's like, whoa. It would kind of prick him. He'd be like, whoa, you know, you can't talk to me like that. But then but Jesus is talking about God. If God didn't give you authority to do it, you wouldn't be able to do it. I mean, I could see his clock, the gears in his mind working. Am I going to push this? And Jesus answered, "You would not have the..." Okay, and then, "Because of this, he delivered me to you has a great..." "Because of this, he delivered me to you has a greater sin."
The people that delivered him.
Yeah, they have the greater sin. "From this time, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you release this one, you are not a friend of Caesar.' And everyone making himself a king speaks against Caesar." So right there, they found his weakness. Because, I mean, that, you know, I'm sure power back then was easy to win and to lose. And you didn't, you know, he was more afraid of Caesar than he was of God. Because, you know, you can't see God, but Caesar is right there and he's got his military. So he's like, well, all right. Yeah, I'm more afraid of what's in front of me than what I can't see. So, and that's just it in the world. The devil can stop you from doing a lot of things because he'd be like, well, what's going to happen to you? You know, if you do this, what will happen? If you testify of God, these people might mock you. You might lose your job. These people, you know, it's like, and the devil will scare you into keeping silent. It's like, are you more afraid of man or do you have a reverence fear of God, not like not afraid, but a fear of God? It's like, so this guy was definitely more afraid of Caesar. But it's all right. I mean, he had to do it anyways. And then hearing this word, Pilate said, led Jesus out, and he sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was preparation for the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away, away, crucify him." Remember, it was just a week earlier. They were throwing down their jackets and palm leaves, and they were excited. Why? Because they thought Jesus was going to save them from the Romans. They had no idea that he was saving their souls, not their flesh. You know, hey, I'm saving you from them. I want you to be with me in heaven. I'm here for the spiritual kingdom. And that's what he said to Pilate. My kingdom's not of this world. You're worried about me. I'm not here to take over here. My kingdom is in heaven. So, you know, they didn't. I mean, and it would be easy for them to misunderstand because they had been in bondage for so long. They thought, finally, the guy that's going to save us. But it's because their teachers didn't teach them right. You know, that's the importance of education. When your education is polluted, everything the students learn is polluted. You know, I run into this all the time, and Mary's always reminding me about evolution. I'm like, how can these people believe this garbage? And she's like, you're taught it from the time you're in kindergarten. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I mean, if your education is polluted, then you believe it because you don't know any better. And it's just common sense to you. Oh, yeah, it happened. Like, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If you look at it, you're like, that makes no sense. It couldn't have happened. But that's what you were taught. So that's the way the Jews were like, we're going to get a Messiah one day and he's going to come back. They were taught wrong. They're like, that's not why the Messiah is coming back. It's to set you free spiritually, not physically. The one day he will come back to set us free. But it's our fight isn't against man. I mean, we always think that. I mean, that's why I can say, I hope Klaus Schwab comes to Jesus. Because my fight is not against him. We have a spiritual battle. And I don't even understand that. I mean, there are people that get into that, and I think you might be right or you might be weird. I have no idea. You know, they're always like, I was fighting demons. You're like, okay, if you say so. And in my mind, I'm like, I could believe you or not believe you. And I don't think, well, that's not true. I'm thinking it could absolutely be true. But I don't know. I've never seen it. I've had people tell me stories of things like that, and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And I'm like, I don't know whether to believe you or not. I wasn't there. I couldn't see it. But I know it's possible. So, and they took Jesus and they led him away. And he went out bearing his cross to the place called of the skull, which is in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him with two others with him on this side and on that side. And Jesus in the middle. And Pilate also wrote the title on the cross, and having been written in the, it was Jesus Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Therefore, many of the Jews read this title because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. So, you know, he as a Roman, he would write that up there, saying, "Here's your king." Yeah, he didn't save you. He's on the cross. But he had no idea that what he wrote was accurate. He did it to prove this guy is not, here's your king. He's dead on this cross. And what he didn't realize was we were all being set free that moment that he killed him on the cross. It's like, and he's not just the king of the Jews. He's the king of the entire world. Everyone that's ever lived or will ever live. It had been written in Hebrew and in Greek and in Latin. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write King of the Jews, but that one said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What have I written? I have written. So it's like you guys already asked me to do this, and it wasn't lawful. He didn't do anything wrong. And I get to write what I want to write. And so you guys could just deal with it. So it's so funny. People are, I don't know. Hallelujah. And when they crucified Jesus, the soldiers took his garments and made four parts, a part to each soldier, also the robe. And the robe was seamless, woven from the top throughout. And then they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but let us cast lots about it, who it will be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, 'They divided my garments among them, and they threw a lot for my garment. Therefore, the soldiers did these things.'" And what's interesting, and my mom was talking about, there was a Christian that was debating Ben Shapiro. And all these Jewish people, it's funny, they've never read, they will dispute Jesus, but they won't ever read the New Testament. It's like if you want to truly dispute it, you need to read it to know, but you won't do it. It's like when I was in Israel, it was funny. We were walking down the street and there was a guy there with a guitar, and he was a Jewish fella, and he's like, "Hey, can we sing some Christian songs?" And we're like, "Yeah." And this guy came out, and he was yelling at the guy. He's like, "You're a heretic and you guys are evil." And he just started yelling at us because we were singing songs about Jesus. That's crazy, because he doesn't know. And first of all, they're supposed to be a light to us, but they kept hiding their light under a bushel. They had God and they kept hiding it. God said, "Hey, I'm giving you me, and I want you to share this with the entire world." And they said, no, we kind of like to keep you for ourselves. And so then finally he's like, all right, nah, you guys kind of dropped the ball, so I guess I'm going to come down. And I mean, he already knew they'd do it. Remember, God knew everything from the beginning to the end. So he came down. And then now it's our turn, and we get to be a light to them. And man, they're stubborn. But that's okay. God said in the end their eyes will be opened. And there are a lot. There are many, many, many Jewish people that know Jesus and love Jesus. Anyway, hallelujah. And his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, and the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene stood by the cross of Jesus. And then seeing his mother and the disciples whom he loved stand by, Jesus said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. What? Woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciples, Behold your mother. And from that hour his disciples took her unto his own. So he's like, you guys got to take care of my mom. It's good. Jesus was about to die on the cross for the entire world. He was still looking out for his mom. Hey, mom. After this, knowing that all things have now been finished, that the scriptures be completed, Jesus said, I thirst. Then a vessel full of vinegar was set, and having been filled with a sponge with vinegar and putting hyssop around, they brought it to his mouth. And then when Jesus took the vinegar, he said, It has been finished. And bowing his head, he delivered up the spirit. So, and then since it was preparation that the bodies not remain on the cross on Sabbath, for great was the day of the Sabbath, and the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they be taken away. And the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead and did not break his legs. But one of his soldiers pierced his side with a lance, and at once the blood and the water came out. And the one seeing had borne witness to this, that is true, and the one knows that he speaks truly, that you may believe. For these things happened that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall be broken. And again, the different scripture says, and they shall look upon him that they have pierced. So it's like, guys, you guys have all the Old Testament, the Jewish people, and all these prophecies were fulfilled. I mean, it would be amazing if one or two or three, but it's like every single one of them was fulfilled. It's like, and just random things. Like, I mean, as a prophet, if a prophet were to say that, and not one of his bones would be broken, you'd be like, okay, how would you know that? And then when it happens, and then you go, well, that wasn't real. You're like, whoa, wait, what? It's like, it's crazy how you couldn't not see that. I mean, it's your deal. Your deal. You guys were led by God to write it all down. And why are you not believing it? And after these things, Joseph from Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, was concealed because of fear of the Jews, and asked Pilate that he might take the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave permission, and then he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus and also came, the one coming at first to Jesus by night, being a mixture of myrrh and of aloes, and about 100 Roman pounds. And then they took the body of Jesus and bound him in linens with the spices, as is usual with Jesus, the Jews in burying. And there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and a new tomb in the garden in which no one yet had been placed. And there then, because of the preparations of the Jews, because the tomb was near, they put Jesus. Probably going to keep reading here in a minute, but it's amazing how many things lined up. I mean, I can see in my own life how God did things. And, you know, you don't know why things happen, and you don't and you don't see it until later, and you go, oh, I'll tell you in a minute. Give me a second. The most incredible thing was, I mean, I could go all the way back. I could go all the way back to when my mom was a kid, but I won't go back that far. So when I was in junior high, whether this was true or not, and I go back now and I think, man, was that true or was that my imagination? I felt made fun of and ridiculed and stuff, so I hated going to that school. And so mom pulled me out my eighth grade year, and I homeschooled 1 year. And then my ninth grade year, I went to a different school. And because I went to that school, a different school, somebody had nominated me to go to Washington, D.C. my junior year. I think it was my junior year. And then I got the letter that said, hey, we want you to go to this youth and government conference. I said, oh, okay. And I kept procrastinating because God knows who I am. I'm a procrastinator. And I didn't turn it in for 3 months. And so because I turned it in late, I didn't go to the one I was intended to go to. I went to one that was 3 months later. And then when I got there, I met this girl named Mary. But if I'd still been in another school, I wouldn't have been at that school, and I wouldn't have been nominated to go to this thing in Washington. I wouldn't have met Mary. And then I met her, and I looked at her, and I said, God, I could marry a girl like that. And then I didn't think about it. And we rode on and off for years. And then one day, I was at a festival in Illinois. It was a Christian music festival. And I was praying. I was like, God, I want to know who my wife is. I want to know who she is. He's like, okay. He goes, you'll know. I said, okay. And when I got home from that festival, there was a letter from her in the mail. And immediately when I picked up the letter, I didn't even open it. I knew who it was. And I knew, I was like, she's the one. And then as I was reading it, she was telling me all about how she had fallen in love with Jesus. I mean, she had been a Christian, but she had fallen in love with Jesus because she was going through all these hard times while she was in Spain and where she was studying her last year in college and all that good stuff. And I was like, wow, I'm going to marry this girl. And so, but that's God. He lined all that up. And it just happened in that order. And that's not normal. I mean, I could just say, well, that was just coincidence. That wasn't coincidence. That was God. And then we get all the way down to, hey, Gabby was born. You know, it's like all these things had to fall in place for that to happen. So God did that with Jesus. All these things had to happen. And God, well, God already knew. When he told a prophet, hey, this is going to happen, he didn't make it happen. He said, this is going to happen, because God already knew it was going to happen. So he told a prophet, write this down. This is going to happen. And that way they can't dispute it. And this will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen. There's 300 or 400 things that happened that prove that Jesus is the Messiah. And they all came true. It's like I said, even if 5 had come true, that would be incredible. But all 300 and some odd came true. That's impossible. How can you not say that Jesus is God? So all that to say, this generation that we're in, man, they need God. And that what they're looking for is reality. Because reality is garbage right now. I mean, everything is so insane that they're looking to anything and everything to not have to deal with reality. And so they do all this crazy stuff, you know, all this VR, and thank goodness Facebook's VR thing totally tanked. That was good. That was going to be awful. They wanted to have meetings and stuff in VR instead of just talking to people in real life. The way the devil can destroy us is by separating us. It's hard. I mean, the Bible says, forsake not the gathering. Why? Because we need to get together and say, hey, God's saying this to me, and God's saying this to you, and God, and we need to come together. It's important. I mean, you can go insane. I know people that spend a lot of time by themselves, and they'll come and they'll talk to you, and you're like, you're weird. I'm like, that's not God. I know you think you're spending a lot of time with God, but that's doesn't line up with the scripture. It's because if you spend a lot of time in your own head, you start making up your own things. And you make up, that's where, you know, it's all these brilliant men, you know, Freud and all these guys. And some of the stuff they say, you're like, wow, that's pretty smart. But then the other stuff, you're like, that's nuts. It's because they spent too much time by themselves. And it wasn't time by themselves. They didn't spend time with God by themselves. They just spent time by themselves. And they didn't you know. So it's like fellowship with one another. That is important. It's good, because then you build each other up. You know, if one person's having a bad day, the other person can build them up. Or if you're both having a good day, you can both rejoice, you know, whatever. It's, but we need to be a witness to this new generation, because they, a lot of them are, it's funny, I heard this guy say one, and I may have even said this before, America is always counterculture. So whatever the culture is, Americans will be counter it. And right now, the culture is perverted, and this younger generation sees that, and they're like, yeah, that's not the deal. I can tell there's no joy in that. And there, a lot of them are coming back around. The problem is they'll go too far. We don't want them to be legalistic, because then there's no joy in that either. So we have to be salt and light. And you see it swing that way. It's like, well, these people are totally debauched, and then these people are totally legalistic. It's like, well, that's, you're missing it. You know, it's like, that's part of the wide path. You know, it's like the wide is the path to destruction. The legalism is destruction, and license is destruction. You know, narrow is the way. You know, it's just, it's like you have to understand that you're wicked, but God saved you, and you're righteous. And that's a weird thought. You know, how can you be wicked and righteous at the same time? It's because you personally are wicked. Jesus came into you, washed away all your sins, and now you're righteous. Sometimes you forget and you still sin. And we will still sin to the day we die. But we are no longer sinners. We are saved. And our sins are covered. And it's just because we forget. We forget. You know, sometimes we go to the store and we stand and look at that thing and you covet it. It's stupid. We forgot. Oh, Jesus, you gave me everything. I don't need that thing. That thing will not make me happy. You make me happy. You are my joy. And it can't be stolen from me. But I forgot. I let this world confuse me and overtake me. And I could see that. When I spend more time seeing what's going on in the world and less time hanging out with Jesus, I see what becomes my priority and what takes priority in my mind. And it's not Jesus. But like I was saying earlier, even when the world takes priority in your mind, Jesus is still right there. He's waiting for you just to say, to come and talk to him. And it's like it doesn't take days or hours or weeks or months. It's just like that. You're like, oh, I was messing up. And Jesus says, good. All right. It's like a best friend. When you have a best friend and you don't see him for 10 years and you see him, and it's like you never were apart. That's the way it is with Jesus. It's immediate. It's like you're never apart. So even though you were off goofing off, you come back and you don't have to, oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. I have to feel bad for days and then maybe you'll let me back in your presence. No, it's immediate. First of all, you never left his presence. You were just weren't looking in the right direction. He's there. So the young people need to know that. They need to know that they're loved, because they're trying to find, you know, if you see, they're always trying to find love and identity. I'm this weirdo or I'm this weirdo. Will you love me now? And the world goes, yeah. And then you see, and then they go, well, I decided I don't want to be this weirdo anymore. And then the world goes, we hate you. And it's like they're saying, man, you guys are capricious. You know, I want you to love me for who I am. And if I say I'm a weirdo, you love me. And if I say I'm normal, you don't. But Jesus loves everybody. And he doesn't want the weirdos to be weirdos, because there's no happiness in that. They're trying to find who they are, and they think it's in that, and it's not. So, oddly enough, I haven't come across many of those people, hardly, like maybe once or twice in my life. And I'm like, maybe they don't really exist as much as we think we do, but I know they do. And you just gotta you. I have an acquaintance who is a homosexual, and he knows that I don't believe in his lifestyle, but he knows that I love him and I respect him as a human being. And I'll tell him that. I was like, you know, what you're doing, it's not of God. And he goes, well, I think it is. I said, well, it's not. I said, but I still love you. And he understands that, and he respects me, and I respect him. And one day I hope he'll come out of that. I hope he'll say that there's no joy in that. And I could, in my mind, I could understand why he is where he is. But I mean, mainly it's just deception from the devil. The devil goes, well, you know, here's where you're going to find love. You know, these people won't love you. And this, but if you do this, then people will love you. And it's like, people just want to be loved. And Jesus loves us unconditionally. So, hallelujah. Well, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word that reveals to us your heart. Shows us who we are as humans and shows us who you are as our Lord, our God, our Savior, our best friend, and can lead us to salvation and then eternity, which is your total goal, is for us to be with you for eternity. Help us to be salt and light to this world. Give us wisdom on what to say and when to hold our tongue. Bless everyone today and keep them safe and let their conversation be edifying. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.